Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
But hey, we are in a series called Purpose. And I'm really pumped about this because this came out of our leadership retreat that was themed around purpose. And we kind of rocket launched out of that. And so, you know, I love that we're talking about this in church because everyone's on a search for purpose. Everyone, like whether you believe in God or not, you're on a search for why you're here, what your purpose is. And so I love that we talk about things that actually matter, that are actually relevant to your world, because we want you to be able to put it into practice and then grow. And so since leadership retreat, I have been pretty much like just set up camp in the book of John. I love it. Pastor Greg preached the most incredible message last weekend out of John 14. So I thought, well, I mean, if he did that, maybe I'll skip over and go to John 15 and just like keep it in sequence. So if you have your Bible here or an app or something like that has the Bible in it, why don't you turn to John 15? And, you know, I love that God created us on purpose for a purpose. And Jesus is like about to go to the cross. So he's in his final few hours. And so he is just downloading and downloading information to his disciples because he wants to make sure that they know how to keep going once he's gone, how to keep that relationship going once he's gone. And so what does he talk about? He tells them how to remain. He teaches them how to remain, how to stay in relationship with him, because they've already got relationship, like he's right there in front of them, but he's like, after I'm gone, I want you to stay in that relationship. And so it's important to him, like if this is the final thing that he's saying, he's like, oh my gosh, I've only got hours left, what am I going to say? I want you to know how to remain. I want you to know how to stay the course, because you know, God is a lifer. He's here for life. This relationship isn't just like a one-time prayer that we pray and then that's it. He wants to actually walk it out with you and walk it out. So if this relationship is for life, then how do we keep it going? How do we keep it going? How do you keep it thriving? And you may say to me this morning, well, Chrissy, that's cool. Like, I love God. I prayed the prayer to invite Jesus into my life. And I read the word and I pray. And that's awesome. I think that's great. That's good. That's what we teach you to do. But let me ask you, are you thriving? And are you more in love with Jesus now than you were a month ago? Because that's the determination of whether we're growing. Because in the relationship, it actually, that love keeps developing. It keeps growing. Do you know, one of my favorite things to do when you're around like family gatherings or things that like there's, you know, older people there is actually finding the couple that's been married for 40 or 50 years and then listening to them talk about what their secrets are. And it's always like, we're just more in love with each other now than when we got married. And that kind of blows my mind. I'm like, wow, after like 50 years, like, does it not die out at some point? But no. But you know how that happens is that they've made decisions to ensure that it happens. And we need to learn how to remain on purpose. And that's the message title, if you're taking notes this morning, is to remain on purpose. Because the life that you live now is a product of the decisions that you make. Because good intention just doesn't last. Man, I wish it did. I wish it did. Anyone with like New Year's resolutions would know that. Just doesn't last. You know, one of my things like this year was like, oh, I want to like get back, like really get back into fitness. But good intention doesn't last. You actually have to do it. You actually have to be disciplined enough to do it. And so I started like thinking, well, I'm going to have to take practical steps and good decisions. And one of them was downloading, I started running again, and it was downloading a running app, which is kind of like, it's good because I like to track things, I like to make sure I'm improving. And as part of it, it has like a little soundtrack, which is kind of cheesy. So the other morning, it's different all the time. It's a real game changer. It surprises you. And so I was like, started off on my run, and it was like right at the beginning of it. And it goes, "Hey there, awesome runner. You've made a good decision to run today." And I was kind of like, "Oh, that's so lame." But then, and because I'm like, I do not feel awesome. It is 6 a.m, and this is not my best life. But I realized, I'm like, yeah, half the battle is actually making the decision to do it in the first place, because I could have every intention to get fit and to be fitter like in 2 months' time. But unless I actually make the decision to go for a run, that is not going to happen, no matter how much I want it to. And if you come to church, if you come to this church enough, then you are going to become familiar with how to have a relationship with Jesus. Because we are unapologetic about it. We are unapologetic. Every Sunday, there will be an opportunity for you to accept that invitation and start that relationship. But here's the thing. We're also passionate about seeing you build that relationship. We're just as passionate about not seeing you start it, but seeing you build it and continue to thrive. That is something that we're passionate. We're passionate about seeing you remain in relationship. So whether you're new to church, you're new to faith, or you've just been walking with God for years, which could be some of you in this room, there is something in this message for you. And I know that the Holy Spirit is going to be speaking to you. So in John 15, let's start off in verse 1. "I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." I love this imagery of our relationship with Jesus, because Jesus is the vine, God is the gardener, and we are the branches. And when we accept Jesus into our heart, we become grafted into the vine. We become attached to the vine. We become part of it. And our nourishment comes from him. And that's how we start to grow and grow and produce fruit. God's purpose for us is that we produce fruit. That's what it says in this verse. Jesus is saying, my goal, my Father's goal is that you would produce fruit. The goal is fruitfulness. He is invested as the gardener to ensure that happens. To produce fruit, though, you have to remain connected. Now, I know that you may be like, yeah, well, of course. But you have to, like, literally remain connected and getting your life from the vine. And so you have to remain in relationship with Jesus. So this morning, I want to give you two keys, just two, not three, that will ensure that you remain on purpose and that you produce fruit season after season after season, that you would stay in it for the long game enough that every season you would produce fruit, that in the seasons of waiting, that you would still be able to remain so that you would produce fruit. So key number one is remain in his word. In verse 4, it says, "Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. You cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted." Man, if you want to be fruitful in life, the key is to remain in his word. The key is to remain in his word. And his promise is that he would remain in us. You know, so often we look at the first part of that verse, and we're like, oh, this is awesome. I can ask for anything I want and it's going to be granted. Amen. Believe that. But then we stop reading. But there's a caveat to that. There's a key to that, that there are keys that unlock the promises of God in our world. And one of them is remaining in his word. Because then you can ask for anything you want. And you know what? It will be aligned with what he wants anyway. That's how we stay connected to him, is we connect through his word. There is a really big difference between living with Jesus and living in him. Because living with Jesus says, cool, he's there when I need him. And I know him, I know about him, and he's there. But living in him means I never not need him. There is never a moment that I can live without him, that we get that revelation that we are nothing without him, that we need his word like we need oxygen. John 15 says in verse 5, "For apart from me, you can do nothing. You can't do anything without me." In Acts 17, 28, it says, "For in him we live and move and have our being." It's in him that you find your being. And let me rephrase that for you. It's in him that you find your purpose. That's how we find our purpose in life. And if you don't know how much that you need him, then you're going to rely on your own strength to keep that relationship alive. And let me tell you right now, it's not enough. Because we're not created to be enough. That's why we need him. That's why we need his lifeline. His word is life. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the word of God, it is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. It cuts between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." It gets right to the heart. It is alive and powerful. And you know the thing that I love about it is that the more you're in it, the more you want it, and the more you realize that, oh my goodness, you need it. You need it. I don't see my relationship with God as just him pouring into me. It has to require investment from me. That any good relationship requires investment from both parties. And the thing is, it's our move first. Like he says, if you remain in me, then I'll remain in you. It's our move. He's like, cool, I'm here, but it's your move first. Remain in me. And then automatically, the promise of God is that he'll remain in us. And do you know what that looks like? It looks like discipline. It looks a lot like discipline. Now, you will never not hear us encouraging you in this church to be in the prayer and word daily. And that's not because we think that it's a religious activity or we just think that it's something that you have to do. We know that it is your lifeline. We know that it is your key to remaining, that it's your key to staying the course and to actually access the fullness of your relationship with God. We remain in the Word. We remain in this Bible because that's where our revelation comes. But we remain in prayer because that's how God confirms his Word through conversation. He confirms it in prayer. You get the revelation and then it's confirmed. And every day, every single one of us have the exact same decisions to make. Am I going to invest in my relationship with God? Am I going to immerse myself in his word? And am I going to put time aside so that we can converse and that conversation not just be about you? That conversation is actually about you inquiring about him and wanting to know about him, not just about what he can do for you. You know, the very definition of discipline is making a decision to not allow your feelings to determine your actions. It's doing it regardless of how you feel. And more often than not, you're not going to feel like it. You're not. I would love to say that I wake up every morning and I'm like, yes, can't wait to get to my Bible. But that's not the case every morning. Some mornings, maybe. But that's not the case. But I don't do it because I feel like it. I do it because it's a discipline, and I know that it is going to bring me life. I know that that's my key to remaining in relationship, is that I'm going to invest in it. And the Bible is not just a great book. It's the very word of God. And if you allow it to remain in you, it will cleanse your soul. In verse 3, it says, "You've already been pruned and purified by the message I've given you." How did they get purified? By the word that he just spoke. By the word that Jesus just gave them. That in this book is everything that you need to live a life that is thriving and fruitful. So allow it to shape your decisions. Allow it to shape your character. Allow it to shape your purpose. And you will not be able to stop the fruit from coming from your life. You will not be able. There are keys that unlock the promises of God in our lives, which I already spoke about. And I believe that the reason that Jesus spoke about this, like he's literally got hours left. He could have spoken about anything, but he's like, remain in me, remain in me, remain in me, remain in me. He repeats it. Like if you keep reading, he repeats it multiple times. Now, why does he do that? He's not silly. He knows that it's going to be hard. He knows that it's going to be challenged. He knows that there is going to be opposition working against it. There is an enemy that is trying to cause you to be disconnected from the vine. And his tactics are sneaky and they are smooth. But by remaining in the Word of God and by remaining aware, you have everything that you need to remain connected. And so I'm going to give you a couple of tactics this morning. Are you ready? Forgetfulness is the first one. If you don't remember what he's done, you will forget who he is. Man, it is so easy to celebrate when God has just moved in your world. And you're like, God's come through. He's faithful. He's good. He's all of these things. And then all of a sudden, you find yourself in another trial. And it's bigger because they always get bigger. And then suddenly, you've forgotten what God just did. Suddenly, you forgot how he just moved. And the enemy uses forgetfulness as a tactic to disconnect you from Jesus, to disconnect you from the vine. And the Bible is full of stories. It is jam-packed full of stories where God has moved in the most miraculous way. And then when faced with the trial, the people would just forget what he's done. And do you know what that does? It means that they lose the ability to trust him. That's what forgetfulness does. It means it's going to break the trust from it. And in Psalm 78, verse 9, we're going to read a little story. It goes like this. The warriors of Ephraim, though armed with bows, they turned their backs and they fled on the day of battle. They did not keep God's covenant and they refused to live by his instructions. Why? Because they forgot what he'd done. The great wonders that he had already shown them. The miracles that he did for their ancestors. He divided the sea. He led them through, making the water stand up like walls. Like, come on. This is insane. In the daytime, he led them by a cloud. And by night, a pillar of fire. He split open rocks in the wilderness to give them water from like a gushing spring. He made streams pour out of the rock, making waters flow like a river. Like, that's insane. Yet, they kept on sinning and rebelling. Do you know they had everything that they needed? They were armed. They were ready. Except they forgot what God had done. They forgot who was on their side. And every year for me, like I write out at the beginning of the year on like a piece of card, I write out the things that I'm believing God for. Every year, I've done it for years. And I make a point to revisit that throughout the year. Because I know how easy it is to forget God's faithfulness when you're in the waiting season, when you're not yet producing fruit in a certain area. It's really easy to forget. And so I pull them out as a reminder because for me, they're not just a list. For me, they are proof of who God is and proof of what he's been to me. Like for me, that's actually a reminder that my God is faithful, that my God is my provider, that my God is good, that my God is kind, that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what I could ask or think. And then all of a sudden, my faith is lifted. All of a sudden, that connection to the vine is secure because I've remembered. I've remembered to be thankful. And you know, the Bible says that we enter his gates with thanksgiving. We enter his gates. We enter his presence with thanksgiving. And another translation of the Bible says, we enter with the password, thank you. And do you know, so why would the enemy be attacking that? Because that's the password into his presence, is thankfulness, is saying thank you. So of course, that's going to be the area that he tries to get you to forget, to disconnect you. So don't allow yourself to forget what God has done in your life. Do you know, every week we watch stories just like Sasha's, our stories. That's not because we need to fill 3 minutes in the service. That's because we want to intentionally remind you of how God is moving in people's lives, to remind you of his faithfulness, of his goodness, of his kindness. We want to remind you to be thankful. And so keep it front and center, and the enemy will have no foothold in your life. Here's the second tactic that he likes to use. It's offense. Offense. Do you know if there's one thing that I've watched take people out of relationship with Jesus, it's offense. You know, Pastor Sam and I went to the same Bible college, actually. And you know, he's told this story of looking back over graduation photos. And if I were to look back at my graduation photos, I kid you not, maybe 50% are not even in ministry, but are following and believing in Jesus. Like, these are people who sacrificed to actually go and build their relationship, and now they're no longer following him. And I know a lot of their stories, and you know what it all stems back to? A moment of offense. I'm going to get offended. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. In fact, by the end of this message, it's quite possible that I will offend you. But in all seriousness, like, the enemy, the Bible says the enemy is looking for opportunities, and it says to lead you into offense. Because here's the thing, offense is a moment. Being offended is your decision. Now, I'm not saying that offense is ever going to stop, because it never will. Like, you will always get led down the pathway of offense. But you choose whether you take that on and whether you choose to let it remain and whether you let it cut you off and disconnect you from the vine. In Mark 11, 24, it says, I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believed you've received it, it will be yours. And again, everyone's like, yep, let's stop reading now. But here's the key, here's the promise. But, there's a but. When you are praying, it just got good. First, what? Forgive. So you can have anything you want, but first you need to forgive other people, that you need to forgive when you're holding a grudge so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. The antidote to offense is forgiveness. So we all want the promises of God. We all want to stay connected to the vine. But here's the thing, forgiveness is one of the keys. Forgiveness is one of the things. And the opposite of that is offense. If you want to remain in his word and remain in relationship, you have to remain unoffendable. And man, that is not easy. You have to reconcile the fact that you may never feel forgiveness. Do you know where we have believed a lie in the church that you need to feel forgiveness, but that is actually not scriptural. That never in the Bible does it say you're going to feel it and then you do it. What it actually says is no, you need to be obedient first. You need to be obedient and let it go and forgive people. It doesn't say anything about feelings. So you have to be okay and reconcile the fact that you may never feel forgiveness. We don't do it because we feel, we do it because we're acting out of obedience to God. Do you know, just before I left Sydney to come to Toronto, I'd been on staff for 13 years. I was running our creative and our services teams there. And I had one of the things that I just felt really convicted about was I want to leave well. Because I'd watched a lot of people do it and do it badly. And so I was like, I'm not going to be that person. I'm going to do it. I'm going to honor my leaders. I'm going to set the team up like so that they're thriving and that it's better than when I started. And so I really sat and prayed and made a plan for how I was going to exit and how that would all be rolled out and what that would look like. And that got taken to our board. And so I got a call one day, one afternoon, from one of my leaders. And he was like, hey, Chrissy, cool. So, yeah, thanks for that plan. This is awesome. We presented it to the board. And they're feeling like, you know, we're gonna take it a different way. We're going to make the plan a bit different. And here's what we're thinking. And it was a very different plan to what my plan was. And it affected greatly my team and how I wanted them to be set up. And it, more so, it affected me personally about this whole kind of let's leave well plan was just destroyed in one phone call. And I remember being on the other end of the phone. I'm like, okay, hung up the phone. Do you know the first thing I did? Picked up the phone, phoned a friend, as you do. And this phone call started like this. You are never gonna believe what just happened to me. That is the tone of offense. That is the sound of offense. And do you know what came next? The conversation that came next is, after everything I've done for this church and after everything I've done for that leader, are you kidding me? And like, I mean, if the first part didn't sound like offense, the second part definitely did. And do you know what happened? They fed it. And I knew they would. They started agreeing with me. And they're like, yeah, you have done so much. Like, and I knew it because there were about, there were a lot of other people I could have called that I knew would have shut it down straight away and would have said, Chrissy, you just need to trust God in the process and just let it go. But I knew the right people to call because offense finds people that will agree with them. When you're offended and you say that you're not, but I'm not offended. I mean, I'm justified in this. Yeah, you are when you're offended. And so I remember driving home that day from work, and I just replayed that phone call over in my head. And by the time I got home, I mean, I was pretty ticked. And I sat outside in the car. I was just having it out with God. And then finally, I got to a point where I just shut up. And sometimes I think God's just like, shh, will you just be quiet for a second? And I just like was quiet. And then it just like in like that moment of stillness, I just realized, man, I have a decision to make. Like I thought I was a pretty unoffendable person because I was pretty aware of it because of how many people I'd watched in ministry get taken out. But this was a big one. Like this one hit home. And so I just remember sitting there, like, I have a decision that I can let this one offense stick and remain in me, and it will pretty much destroy 13 years of ministry for me and everything that I'd built, and it would destroy that relationship for me personally. Or I can let it go and I can forgive and I can trust God that I'm going to walk it out with Him. And I knew what the right decision was. And so here's the thing, because I knew like that because I was in relationship with God, I was in His Word, it wasn't even a question, really. Like I had a moment, sure, like a few moments that day. But like I knew, I'm like, no. And so I just started praying and I was like, God, I forgive this person. And like I'm choosing right now that I am not giving the devil a foothold in my life, that I'm going to let this go. And that, Lord, I'm going to trust you with however this plays out. I'm going to walk it out with you. And that's it. That was it. That was the end of the prayer. And I got out of my car, which my original plan was to go inside the house and start like, you know, verbal like processing with everyone. But I didn't mention it to anyone. I didn't mention it again. In fact, I've never even told that story. Because it was like, for me, I'm like, it was done. It was an act of obedience and it was done. I didn't feel like it. And the pain of that decision was still present in that moment. But I did it anyway. And, you know, the byproduct of that was within a week, like I got another phone call saying, actually, we've rethought this and looked at your plan and it is the right way. So we're going to do that. And the whole season was just like, it could not have been a better ending. And I mean, regardless though, even if that wasn't the case, because I didn't know that when I chose to let it go, even if that wasn't the case, I was still trusting God out of obedience that I may not feel this forgiveness, but I'm going to walk it out anyway. So make a decision to remain unoffendable and to release it as soon as it comes your way. If you're in this place this morning and you, like that speaks to you and you're already thinking of the person, you're picturing them in your mind, maybe with like a cross over their face, I don't know. But whatever it is, like you know, you're like, yeah, I don't feel like it, but I know that I need to forgive, then you release it in prayer. That's how you release it. And you release it by being in relationship with Jesus. And it's actually just praying a prayer that, God, I forgive this person. It's praying a prayer that I let it go. I refuse to let this remain in me. And thank you that as I put this in your hands, I am free. Amen. And it's done. It's done. You might not feel it, but it's done. So remain connected to Jesus and let your relationship be rooted and pruned and growing through His Word. Second key is remain in His love. In John 15, verse 9, it says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and I remain in His love. So how do we remain in His love? Simple obedience. Simple. So easy, right, Pastor Greg? What are you obeying? You're obeying His word. You can't obey without first knowing His word, but you can't have His word truly abiding in you if you aren't activating it, if you aren't acting in obedience to it. You need both to remain. You know, some of us think, well, I'll just take one of those keys, Chrissy, because just one sounds like enough, but you actually need both. You need both to be able to stick it out for the long haul. And here's the thing, God uses the act of obedience to prune us for growth. That's how we're pruned, because He is a careful gardener. He's filled with care. And He's the one who cares the most about our growth. And we are constantly presented with opportunities to grow by being obedient to His word. Do you know the biggest misconception about growth and obedience is that if God's asking you to do it, it's easy. And that has not been my experience. Pruning hurts. But without pruning, growth can never occur. When I felt God asking me to move to Toronto, my first instinct was no. And actually, then it was followed by, please don't ask me to do this. But you know why? It was because I instantly knew that my obedience to that request was going to be painful. It was going to be painful. But because I had chosen to remain in His word and remain in His love, that meant I had to remain in His obedience. And that quickly changed to a yes, Lord. But that didn't eliminate the process of pain. No, I still had to walk through the entire pruning process, but I walked through it knowing that it was leading me on a pathway to growth, leading to the promises of God. And the process was painful in a lot of areas of my life. It was painful having to let go of the pride of having a title, the pride of being known. It was painful having to financially, like, really trust God. It was painful watching all of my relationships change. It was painful having to leave everything that I'd built, everything that I knew, to start again in my 30s. Like, that was painful. But here's my revelation. The vine, who is Jesus, is in control. We, the branches, only have life because of the vine. We only grow because we are attached and in constant relationship with Jesus. We are pruned not on our request. We are pruned when we're ready for growth. That when He sees that we're ready for growth, it's never convenient. But the purpose of pruning is so that you would produce fruit. And I've found in every season of pruning, whether it's big or small, when you let go and just be obedient to God, it's always better. It's always better. Our obedience solidifies our trust in Him. The answer, I feel like that God is asking a question to everyone in this room today. And it's, do you trust me? Do you trust me? And the answer to that question is found in your ability to be obedient. That's how you know the answer to that question is, are you obedient to what He's asking you? There is a very big, now you might be thinking, oh, Chrissy, this sounds horrible. I'm going to be hurt. Like, this is going to be painful. Like, the process, like, why would I even want to be in a relationship with Jesus? Well, let me tell you that the process of pruning, when you know that you're headed to growth, is so much greater than the process of being dead and knowing that the pain of being dead is not ever going to go away, that the pain of being disconnected from the vine is never going to change. I would much prefer the pain of pruning, knowing that it won't last, knowing that it's headed to something greater. And you know His response to our obedience is joy? It's joy. In verse 10, it says, when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and I remain in His love. I have told you these things so that you would be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. The fruit of the Spirit is love, but the characteristic of love is joy. And you know that there is a big difference between joy and happiness, because happiness is a feeling of the emotions, but joy is a spiritual experience. It's an experience of the Spirit. That's why your emotions, man, like, your emotions are a roller coaster. Like, one minute you're happy, the next minute you're not, the next minute, it's all based on feelings. But when God's talking about the spirit of joy, he doesn't promise happiness because he knows that it won't last. He promises joy. And the Bible says that it's an abiding joy, which means it's a joy that remains. When you're walking out in obedience, even though your circumstances might be painful, there is a joy that remains that you will only find by being in relationship with him. You know, as I walked through that season of change and moving to Toronto, there was pain, sure, but there was a presence that I could feel in my spirit that just felt like the smile of heaven. It's the only way I can describe it. And to me, like, I think, well, yeah, that, like, God must be so happy when we're obedient to him. Because, you know, as a leader and even as a friend, that there is absolutely nothing greater or more honoring than someone who takes your advice. And not only do they put it into practice, but then you get to watch them thrive in the process. Like, that is like the greatest thing ever. I had three incredible interns. Thanks, Pastor Greg. Internship, which is starting up again soon. So, like, sign up and put yourself in a position for growth. But you know what? The thing, like, the greatest thing as their leader was actually that they walked in ready to grow. Do you know how I knew that? It's because they're obedient. It's because they actually put into practice the things that we asked them to do. And then I got to be that person, that crazy mom, that's like sitting, you know, at All In, coming up on Thursday night, sitting at All In whilst they were preaching, all of them, right? Preaching, going, that's my intern. Oh my gosh, like they're doing so well. And watching them step into the things of God, step into their purpose, like there's nothing greater. Like I can't even wipe the smile off my face. And you know, I like said at West Campus this morning, I love watching, like this is a kind of creepy habit that I have. I'm gonna let you in on my world. I am a bit of a creep. But like sitting and looking over at Pastor Sam and Jess on the front row whenever any of us are on stage, because their face just says it all. They're just looking with such pride and so they're so proud of every single person. But do you know how I know that? It's because they're invested in our growth. It's because not one person will walk onto this stage at any of our locations without a phone call from Pastor Sam, encouraging us, challenging us, trying to make sure that we're stepping into a season of fruitfulness. And I love that. And so then when I sit there and I watch them, I'm like, ah, oh, just like makes my heart so happy. Because they are just bursting. And I think if that is like the feeling that we get when someone's obedient, imagine how much more God feels that. Imagine how much more it pleases him when we're obedient to his word. When we remain in his word remains in us. When we remain obedient, we instantly remain in his love. And there is nothing greater than experiencing the fullness of a relationship with God. You will find your purpose as you remain. You will continue to be fruitful season after season after season as you remain. All the promises of God are available to those who remain. And the best part is that you were chosen by God. It says in verse 16, you didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you, and the Chrissy version of this says, I have purposed you to go and produce lasting fruit. He chose you. He didn't choose you for a season. Like, I imagine him looking down and being like, hey, that's my girl, Casey. Look at her go. She's being obedient. Like, ah, she's thriving. I love it. I chose her. I chose her. I see him, like, doing that for so many people across this room. But Cameron, he's like, man, Cam, I chose you. I chose you, I purposed you to go and produce fruit. I purposed you for greater things. And when he sees you doing that, he's cheering you on. And I love that you didn't choose him. He chose you first. He wants you to remain his forever. And so maybe you're here today and you've just never even begun the relationship. Then it would be my privilege to actually make the introduction this morning. So all across this place, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to give an invitation to three types of people. The first person is if you have never had that relationship, like all of this sounds so new to you and you're like, Chrissy, I don't even know, understand everything that you said, But gosh, I want to be in relationship with Jesus. Gosh, I want to be in relationship with God. Then in a moment, I'm going to get you to raise your hand. The second person is that maybe you have just not been able to remain. That for whatever reason, you're away, but you're like, you know what? Today, I'm going to make a decision to come back and I'm going to remain. Then in a moment, I'm going to get you to raise your hand. And the third person is that maybe you just need an assurance. You're just not sure. There seems to be too many questions on whether heaven would be your home. Maybe you come to church every week, but for some reason, you just haven't had an assurance. Then in a moment, I'm going to get you to raise your hand. So there's three people in this room. If you've never invited Jesus into your heart, but you want to start that relationship, or if you've been in relationship, but for whatever reason you're away, but you're making a decision that today you're coming home, or if you just need an assurance, then all across this place right now, I want you to raise your hand.